because nobody can agree to follow a specific path. as soon as your intelligence is gone, or as soon as you give up scripture, then there's no standard anymore. The standard is set by another conditioned soul's own mind and intelligence. So therefore we run into all kinds of problems. As soon as we deviate, we run into all kinds of problems. Prahlada Maharaj says, Maya is such that as soon as you try to resolve a problem, a material problem, by your own endeavor, by your material solution, then the solution creates more problems. And thus your material life becomes more and more complex. That is the nature of the material energy. You think you may immediately resolve the pressing problem, but the result is so many more problems will come from that. Prabhupada usually gives the example of the motor car, that you want to get from A to B quicker, and so you invent a motor car. But look at the price you have to pay for living with motor cars. There's so much pollution, so much hellish factories, and exploiting material nature, etc., etc. But so that's the price. That's the price you have to pay. So they're always like that. So because there's no direction, very very difficult to. Devi Shri Gunamai, Krishna says, it's very difficult to overcome this material nature. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. About the banyan tree, says material world is like a banyan tree. He's Krishna saying, it is said there is an imperishable banyan tree that its roots upwards and its branches down, whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is an aura of the Vedas. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has its roots going down, and they are bound to the fruitive actions of human society. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. So that is the... That is the situation. No one knows what it is, where it began, where it ends, or what it's founded in. As soon as that knowledge is taken away, so then it means if there's no actual standard to follow, then we have to make our own standard. So according to the to the society that you live in, then they'll make that particular standard. Our standard, or the Vaishnava standard, is very high. Very high in that Vaishnava. So much demand to be a Vaishnava. Because they're demanding, you should give up everything, practically speaking. Even religion, in Christian sense. So it's very high. But Krishna continues in this. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended from time immemorial. So he says one should be detached from the material world and seek out the Supreme Lord and surrender to Him. Then he says, how to surrender, or the qualities of surrender in the next sloka. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association who understand the eternal and are done with material lusts, who are free from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attain that eternal kingdom. So to know how to understand, Krishna says, from me come remembrance, tolerance, forgetfulness, etc. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. But here there's some activity required, there's some endeavor on our part, and Krishna is saying here, those who are free from false prestige, illusion, false association, who understand the eternal and who are done with material lust, who are free from dualities and happiness, and who are unbewildered, they know how to surrender. So it's a high price he's asking. You've got to come to that stage. Okay, thank you. Krishna goes on to give a description how to actually become free from this cycle of birth and death. So it means essentially we have to give up. You have to give up everything. That you have to give up the desire for a happy life in higher society, with wonderful relationships, which is what everyone's looking for in this material world. That's what the things that they're looking for. So even that should be given up. I don't want this beautiful associate. I don't want good aristocratic birth. I don't want this wealth, etc. Don't want, because it's restricted, it's binding. Materials, on the material platform, that is. Of course, we all live in the material world, and society, friendship, and love are there and necessary. But here, Krishna says in the 15th Bhagavad Gita section we just read, that one should give up false association, asat sangha, that one should give up the association of non-devotees. Because non-devotees, no direction. They have direction, but it's not leading out of the cycle of birth and death. everyone has a particular direction or goal. And no doubt, they all have that. That's why there's so many arguments. Everyone thinks they're right. the result depends on how you achieve that. It depends on your endeavor. Whatever you put into it, that you'll get back. Yeah? Whatever the price is for that, to achieve something, that you have to be prepared to pay. So therefore, the different levels of tolerance, what we're willing to give, what we're willing to pay. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, the philosophy is so nice, we're preaching to everyone, but hardly anyone wants to take it. Srila Prabhupada said, when you go to sell a diamond, you don't expect many customers. So like that, because the price is very high, isn't it? Very high. But if you don't follow the standard of the scripture, and the scripture is coming from the other world, it's coming from out of the material universe, so therefore it's perfect, Sabda Brahma. You simply have faith and accept this. There's no way to verify it. You can't verify this. It's simply based on faith. And you accept that there's direction, but that you can apply your logic and argument to the instructions and the directions in the Shastra to see if they're valid or not. And we have the living examples of people who apply the Shastras and get the result. And we see that some people, they've achieved, detachment. They've achieved a happy free state of life. they've achieved a high degree of love of their devotion to Krishna. So these are the actual evidence that it's a viable path. And everyone's talking about it from time immemorial. We're reading this book, which was 5,000 years ago. What other kind of books do you read after 100 years, 200 years? In fact, it's thousands of years old, and people are still finding it interesting and enlightening, and giving their whole lives to this. That's the beginning. But anyway, faith is necessary in any walk of life, in anything you do. And it's understanding that everyone's not going to accept, because everyone's different. Eh? 400,000 types of human being, according to the scripture. We know that no one is exactly the same. We're affected by the modes of nature different. Everyone has different karmas. Everyone has different consciousnesses, different levels of people. Yeah? Anamoy, pranamoy, jnanamoy, vijnanamoy, anandamoy. So they're not going to agree on the same goals, obviously. They won't do it. Like the lowest class of human, and the animals also on the Anamoy platform, they're simply interested in food. As long as they get sufficient food, I mean, they're so narrow-minded, or it may be their situation, that they have no option. But you're just thinking, because every 6 hours you've got to eat, right? Otherwise you suffer. So they just think of getting that. It's so difficult, their karma is such, it's so difficult to get that they that's their main goal. As soon as they get it, they're satisfied for a little while, but then immediately you've got to think of the next meal. It's not, but when you're a bit more comfortable and you have something in your cupboard for tomorrow, right? You got your cornflakes and your milk in the fridge when you wake up in the morning, whatever you eat. Then you can move out of that. Then you come into the pranamoy, which is more. You begin have more of a social establishment and. Cooperation with other members, and then make a society. Then living's easier, and then from that will come when living is easier. Then that come there's not so much fearing, and there's not so much pressure from the modes of nature. It means your consciousness is higher, your opportunity to take birth in that society. It's not by chance. And then within that society, then there become art, philosophy, religion, like the sociology. It's a bit more advanced, the Gyanamoy. Then if you're philosophically inclined or religiously inclined, and you take to the practice, then there's that Gyan, you get that Gyan, then it becomes realized. Then ultimately there's an undermine, spiritual realization, spiritual establishing a relationship with God. So that's what the Vaishnav Marg is offering to us, that we can have that. So therefore the price is high, the goal is high, the price is high. You can't have two things at once. You can't have material enjoyment and spiritual life at the same time. So, in the third chapter, Karma Yoga, Krishna says, in the fifth sloka, everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of nature. Therefore, no one can restrain from doing something even for a moment. So you've got to act according to your qualities. You have to act. There's no question of acting. And you're conditioned by those particular qualities you have. Krishna says, if you just restrain the senses, but you're always thinking about sense gratification, he's a pretender. But on the other hand, a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga and Krishna consciousness. This is better. So Krishna's given a gradation. This is better. Try it. You know, try to be a little bit detached. Try to control the senses for a higher cause. Perform your prescribed duty. That's better, even better. Then you do your work for Vishnu. Yagyatat kama no yacha loko yam karma bandana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. It has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage. Because you have to work. You have to do something, you see. You can't remain idle. So if it's not done to Vishnu, who's it done for? So these are our rules. Accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. So if it's not done for Krishna, it's not done for Vishnu, then it's done for yourself or your extended self. And that's material. So then as a reaction, then you come back again, take birth again. So this way is binding. So if you want to become free, if your goal is to become free from samsara, then you have to perform worship of Vishnu. What has to be done for Vishnu. And then Krishna gives a big picture in the next text 10. In the beginning of creation, you better believe this, because there's no way of verifying. In the beginning of creation, Krishna says, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna. You want happiness? Krishna's saying, be happy by this yajna, because his performance will bestow on you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. So this is the path of the karma. You can engage your senses, enjoy sense gratification, and gradually rise up and get liberation. Many, many births. It's progressive, you see. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifice, also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Artha. From Dharma comes Artha. That's what we want. Everyone's looking for Artha, but they don't know they don't want Dharma nowadays. But Krishna's saying here, Dharma, then it will naturally come. In charge of the various necessities of life, this is text 12, the demigods, being satisfied by your performance of yajna, will supply all necessities to you. But who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Etc. So, Krishna's giving you a picture there. You want to be happy. You want sense gratification. Okay, this is the way to do it. Kama yoga. Advanced. Someone's advanced. So therefore, the religion culture is there. But the religious injunctions, they're more or less a license for sense gratification. That means the lower religions, just for sense gratification. The higher principle is to give up sense gratification, because sense gratification is binding. How is it binding? Because when we engage, we only engage in things we like to do, right? So when we do that, then there's a nice feeling. With satisfaction, right? Satisfaction guaranteed. We got it, then we feel, oh. And that feeling makes the endeavor worthwhile. It may have been hard work, but it makes us, we feel we achieved something by my endeavor, and we're happy. There's some shelter. I found some happiness, some shelter in the material world. So that remembrance won't go away. So then naturally you're going to come attached to that, because that's what we're looking for, right? Shelter and happiness. So when you find it, then you'll be attached to that, obviously, because that's our goal, isn't it? And under Chinmay Parshad, everyone is pleasure-seeking by nature. You can't stop that. So wherever you find it, you're going to be attached to that. So it's there in the material world. It's there. It doesn't last long, but it's there. You can't hold it, but it is there as a sensation that it is there. And if you can manipulate or use your intelligence in such a way you can hold it all the time. This is the idea of the modern world. All the time happy, all the time safe. This is what they're promising. That's what they're looking for, right? And make, you know, invent a pill, you won't grow old, and you'll always be young and beautiful and joy. And that's what they want, right? Materialist. Because everyone's looking for that. So that's the problem. If without direction, when you're not accepting the direction, then it's just mental speculation, and you're on your own. What else can you do? So then you're going to go wherever the senses are. You find most satisfaction. But of course, you have to follow restrictions, even demoniac societies. For the society to function, you have to follow restrictions. Prabhupada says you have to keep to the left and right of the road. You have to follow some rules, and actually, even materially speaking, the more advanced the civilization, then the more rules are there. Right? You go in the field, you can do what you like. You go in the forest, no one will say anything. There's no one around. But you can't do the same things in the city. You're obliged to follow a certain protocol. So it just depends on your particular society. Then, so what is good, what is bad, what is religion? that'll be, so these lower religions, lower forms of religion, we're talking about Vedic, not the Upadhammas, like the more modern religions, they're very base, actually, not very scientific. But the Vedic religion is actually more scientific, but it's also bewildering. So even you're claiming to be a religious person, the world is still confusing. You're still not actually. It takes you so long to get out to come to the mode of goodness. It takes so many births that that's why the Vaishnavas say it's practically useless, you know, to engage in this any kind of religious activity. Well, Krishna says, Sava Dhamman Pratyaja Mahami comes from, just surrender to me. Otherwise, it's very difficult to be, even if you're religious. King Paranjan, or Prachina Parishat, is religious, very religious person. And he was engaged in Vedic activities. He's sacrificing animals. Hey, you shouldn't kill animals, it's wrong. Is it wrong or is it not? Is it good, but is it bad or not? So who can say? There's no standard. But in the lower shastras, there's injunction, because it's to regulate the sense gratification. So Narada is saying to King Pashyendra, if a king is too much, he's talking about Pranjan, not you, of course. But of course, he said, if you're too much attracted to eating flesh, then according to the revealed scriptures, the scriptures which are offering these sacrificial performances, if you go there, there's an injunction. You can kill the animal, it's not a problem. So then you want to be pious, then you do it like that, but not unrestrictedly. So he's trying to bring, because Prachindabhara is affected by the mode of ignorance. Is it going to be shooting the animals just for pleasure, more or less? Because that's a great adrenaline. That there's two things: there's to control and enjoy. And it is said that the feeling of control is much more powerful than much more enjoyable than the feeling of pleasure. It's a different kind of thing. It means, because the most important thing is existence, right? For us, the most important thing is my existence. Right? You have to admit that. If I don't exist, nothing has any meaning. Right? So because I exist, everything has meaning, therefore I'm the most important thing. This is our way we feel. Who cares? If I don't exist, what does it mean in anything? So I'm the most, my existence is the most important thing. Then within that, then the next most important thing is my desire. What do I desire? What is my paradigm? What do I want? So, off track. So he's killing the he's killing the animals because he has when someone's life is in your hands, that's a great feeling. I have power over your, because it's very dear, my existence is very dear to me. It's dear to everyone. I have your life in my hands. It's a great feeling of controller. We want to be the controller. It's a great feeling of control, being the controller. Better than ordinary pleasure. My life is in your hands. If I release this arrow, I can take your life, I can let you go. You're completely at my mercy. I am the controller. So that's a great feeling there. Save it, but not like that. He said, if you want to do it, there's a way to do it and remain religious. And you won't go to hell for doing it. Notwithstanding that the animal will come back and kill you in his next life. But anyway, if you want to do it, there's a way to do it. So Prabhupada, just see the consciousness. Just see what kind of people you're dealing with. You've got over this, you can't kill any animal. It's an animal like a lower animal, like a goat. And not any day, it has to be on the Anamvasha, on the dark moon. Only once in a month you can eat meat. You can kill the animal once in a month. It's restriction, you see. And not any animal, it's only some animals. And then before you kill the animal, Mahamsa, I'm taking your life, and in my next life you'll come back and take my life. Then you cut the throat, the ghastly sin, and you offer it to Kali. He said, what consciousness? This is the kind of people you're dealing with. If people were religious, there'd be a lot more less killing going on, because you go to the shop with the picture of Kali on the wall and everything in there is prasadam, and you just buy it and it's already... But if you had to go through those ghastly acts and say that to the animal, who would want to do it? But that's the kind of people, but at least you won't go to hell for doing that, because you've done it in a religious way. So that's restriction. So that's what it's for. It's to restrict sense gratification, because we won't stop it. So similarly, you can offer your wine to Chandi, and you can, whatever you do. You can, there's different ways to do it, you see. And then you won't suffer so much for it. But the whole thing is, you're actually meant to stop it. But because people are different, according to the morals, according to your nature, that you can't universally agree on one specific point. You can't do it. It's so much a variety there. So that's why there's so many different religious systems there. So one should... One should restrict the sense gratification which is not permitted. And we have sense gratification. We take Mahaprasad, right? Very opulent. Rasgulas and chapatis and satyas, dripping with clover, lots of ghee, nice, sweet. We enjoy it, but it's prasad. Of course, different consciousnesses in how you accept that prasad, and that's another thing. But that's, if you recognize it's prasadam, then that's no karma free. You don't get a better body for that. I mean, the minimum result you get for practicing devotional service, sadhana bhakti, is you're guaranteed a human birth. That's the minimum. At least you're going to get another human birth if we're practicing. So it's not that you stop all. You become ascetic. Become monastic and give everything, not like that. But you give up you accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness, we accept what the scripture says you can have. And depending on your goal, you've got limitations. The higher your goal, then the higher the price. The more restrictions. The more restrictions from material energy, that's what it means. The lower the mode, then the more freedom you have with to enjoying the material energy. Right? Less rules for the suja, more for the vaisya, more for the kshatriya, more for the brahmana. It's to restrict your association with the material energy and directly focus it to the real point. But it's always, but you have to follow you have to follow the authority, otherwise you make your own up. Once Bhavananda asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what's wrong with a glass of wine after lunch? Prabhupada said, it won't stop there. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine, right? But he said, it won't stop there, that's the problem. then another. So the rule has to be followed. It's for our protection. It's not for our punishment, it's for our protection. We're being punished by the material nature, by being thrown into the cycle of birth and death. It's a punishment. But we're trying to enjoy this punishing situation because of our ignorance, because of our foolishness, because of our covering. We think it's enjoyment, it's actually suffering. So therefore they're restricting your opportunity to associate with material nature and come back in the material world. That's what the rules are for. We take them as troublesome sometimes. But they're actually helping us. You're in trouble. As soon as you neglect them or disregard, then you're in trouble. But we see it as the conditioned souls is the opposite way around. It's like the person has a disease and the sugar candy tastes bitter. It's actually bitter, like taste. Experience is bitter. But it's not bitter. But your experience is bitter. And no one can convince you that it's not bitter. Because I'm tasting bitter. How can you say something else? It's my experience, and it's bitter. Because I have jaundice. When the jaundice goes away, then I can see that it's actually sweet. But in the disease condition, this is our world. So Raja, Tama, Sattva, Annamoy, Pranamoy, it's your world, you're living in. And that's the best thing, you don't see it. And therefore you argue with other people. This is the best. Everyone wants to make their, this is actually the best way. Okay, it may be the best for you, but it's not the best for everyone. So it's very difficult to live together harmoniously in Kali Yuga. As soon as one becomes a little powerful, then they try to subdue all the others and bring them over to their thing. This is history. Anyway, material and religious. Like the so it's very confusing what to do. One devotee asked me yesterday, day before, South India, Coimbatore, we're just building a new house. You know, they hang the figure on the house for the Vastu. Sometimes in Bengali, put a pair of shoes or a hat or something up there, figure with a, you know, a stuffed shirt, a straw, and a clay pot on it. It's a drishti. So envious people, they see that, something, hey, what's that? They don't look, oh, this guy's enjoying, he's got a nice facility, and it takes their mind off of that. There's something hanging up there which shouldn't be there, you know, some strange thing. They look at that, and that takes away the... So that's a drishti. It takes away inauspiciousness. He said, after we do that, then the tradition is we have to go to that demigod, and we have to offer a goat. He said, so the devotees are asking, what should we do, you know, because we're taken to Krishna consciousness. Do we have to... You know, we've done half the procedure, do we have to do the other half and offer the goat? Like the Hati Shnan, you know, you do something to remove inauspiciousness, then you're going to kill it. So that's, but it's there, it's prescribed for those in the mode of ignorance. There's scripture for them to follow. Of course, we don't follow it. So if there's no scripture, there's no relative standard. What is the standard? There's no scripture. There's no standard. So therefore, different countries have different laws. Here's some. I was saying here the polygamy is allowed according to the scripture, and even in all the religions, practically is allowed. It used to be allowed, right? How many, we know for our, definitely it's definitely allowed. Krishna had many wives, Ram, not Ram, but others, even in the other modern religions, Moses or Abraham supposed to have 100 wives, or they all had lots of wives, but now it's forbidden only one wife. But you can live with as many women as you want. You can have a licit connection with as many women as you want. You can have a house full of women if you like, but you can only marry one of them. So this is the And there's, you know, there's probably reasons behind it why they've stopped. It's like they stopped the monarchy because the kings become corrupt. And then they have to abolish. So as soon as you step away, you run into all kinds of problems. So monarchy is good or bad? What is good and what is bad in the material world? Depends on one culture is good and one culture is bad. One culture is illegal and one culture is legal. It's a good thing. One culture is a bad thing. One culture is a good thing. Depends on your conditioning. So what is right? What is good and what is bad? So it's all relative in the material world. So unless you get information from what is the absolute good, which doesn't exist in the material world, because the material world is relative, there's no good or bad. From the absolute position, the outside position, it's all bad. You take birth, you grow old, you get sick, you die, you take birth, and in between you suffer and enjoy it so much. But eventually then the whole thing is closed up again. When Vishnu breathes in, it comes out again. I mean, what is the meaning of it? What is the actual use of it? You're just going through these different experiences. But they start miserably and end miserably. In birth, they're suffering. When you're born, you're suffering like anything. Then when you die, you're suffering like anything. And in between, there's some happiness and some distress. But it has no real meaning. So from that point of view, it's all bad. So there's no relative standard. But because we think our standard is best, then we'll try to get everyone on board. And if you don't agree, if we're strong enough, we'll force you. So therefore, there's no peace in the material world without the without the proper direction. And then, because people don't like the injunctions and restrictions, and as Kali Yuga proceeds, of course it's going to be up and down. But you know, the mode of ignorance predominates. So even if you want to be religious, you're gonna choose a religion because it's all relative, right? There's no one religion is better than another. You gotta be politically correct. Then I'll take the religion which offers the most sense gratification. Why not? If it's all, it doesn't matter which one you follow. Take this one where you can have much sense gratification. And even that eventually becomes too troublesome. Then therefore we become agnostic. Oh my God. Then you can do what you want, right? There's no religion. You don't have to suffer. There's no God. There's no standard. You can do whatever you like. That's great. Yeah? That's what we want. Freedom. Yeah? And then we do what I like, I do what you like, everyone does what they like, and the world becomes a big mess. Then at the end, because that's what more or less happens. So it becomes animals again. The law of the jungle. Who is the strongest? They survive longer than the others. 25 years, nobody lasts longer than that. But anyway, that's what happens at the end of Kali Yuga. Then the avatar Kalki comes, and there's nothing left to preach to. There's no semblance of any brain substance. Of course, there'd be some devotees, some pious people, few. But there's nothing left it's too difficult to change. So therefore, he just kills everyone, starts again. Turn over a new page, come in, Sati Yuga, let's start again. Then they come, progenitors come, they build up the build up the population and start again. Merry-go-round. Then it's pious for a little while till, you know, Kali Yuga comes around again and people, so this is how it is. So eventually we bump into a saint, eventually you come to the senses. Otherwise why has God made it like this? It's to tell us that this is not a place for our enjoyment. That's what it's for, so to wake us up, so one has to be sober. It's not a place for enjoyment. The body's not an object of enjoyment, it's an object of punishment. The material world is a reformation place. So it behoves one to become sober and just accept what the Shastra says and follow. Whatever level you're at, you're going to follow that. At least you're progressive. And we're fortunate. We've somehow or other come to the top topmost. Of course, everyone will say that, but we can say it with confidence. And of course, it's difficult, very difficult. In Kali Yuga, to surrender to Krishna, to surrender to the false ego, is not an easy task. As long as one is sincere, then by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, when he sees that sincerity, although we don't have any qualifications, it's very difficult to actually get any kind of good qualifications in Kali Yuga, relatively speaking, very difficult. So never mind that, but someone sincerely endeavoring to assist the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, then you go back to, next birth, you can go back to where Krishna's appearing. Then that's the last birth. So you save hundreds and hundreds and millions of births, maybe. And it's just like a light in Kali Yuga, one thing, otherwise nothing else is going to work in Kali Yuga. So that's mercy. Otherwise it doesn't usually come in Kali Yuga. Not like this, anyway. If Kali Yuga just, he appears in Sri Yuga. The avatar, those Sri Yugas, they come and they preach. What can they preach in Kali Yuga? It's too degraded. It's just as fortunate Samavada, we've done something that we took birth at this particular time. Some Samavada, which is in the wake of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So that's a good luck. Otherwise, only confusion. So we should be convinced that what the scripture says is right, and it's there for a purpose, even though there's many contradictions. And there's something for everyone to elevate, even a low person, low human being in the mode of ignorance, that they can start from that position to rise up to back to Godhead. So it's being stressed again and again, just not that we follow this particular program, we just accept what's favorable to Krishna and reject what's unfavorable. That's the simplicity of it. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. But it said these instructions are there, and chapter after four or five chapters here on this subject matter, just to push it into us that, we're actually mercy cases, Kali Yuga. And you've got to come to the point of surrendering to Krishna, because only He's going to take you out. How can you get out yourself? Only He can open the door, the lid of the material. It's His creation, and He's sealed it with Maha Maya. And, she's gone. How can you get out? You can't overcome her. She's Krishna's prime energy. But by His grace, He will. So that's the path that the pure devotees are offering. And the goal is tremendous. You go back to Golok to be with Radha Krishna. There is my Bhagavatam ki sarvavari ki jai gopinandi. Any comments or questions on this subject? Mr. Murari? We have a mic for the... No, the overseas viewers. Overseas hearers and viewers.
You mentioned how Krishna says, you perform this yajna, be happy, be prosperous, let the prosperity reign for all. By performance of this yajna. So this is in third chapter. Then later on Krishna says, actually, no, you can't be happy here anyway. Whether you're in heavenly planet, it's all miserable. So there's no point really in trying to be happy. Mm. And he also says that the mode of goodness, he says actually, even though you can be happy in the mode of goodness, it's still binding. It's a waste of time. And you mentioned that in one breath of Mahavishnu, birth and death so many times, what's the point? So then you go to the spiritual world, you go to Vrindavan, and there everybody is either in anxiety that they're not with Krishna, or they're in bliss because they are with Krishna. So this goes on, backwards and forwards. They're with Krishna, then they're separated from Krishna, then they're with Krishna. So what's the point of that? I mean, that just goes on forever also. Where's the point of that?
Well, we're looking for experience, right? Experience is important for us. So there's the ultimate experience. Two sides.
But you never reach satisfaction.
Huh?
You never reach satisfaction. There's never
closure. Oh, you do. You're completely satisfied.
So then if you're satisfied, it will become boring.
No, because that's ever increasing.
And it's ever increasing. How can it increase if you're already fully satisfied?
That's a mystery. Ananda Bodhi Vairagya.
So it is worth going there.
Huh?
It is worth going there.
It's worth going.
Okay. I had a doubt for a moment.
I have experienced Ananda Bodhi Vairagya for about half a minute. I was on Padyatra and I was chanting a lot, and I was praying to the Lord that I want to understand something about the holy name, chanting the holy name, the best, you know. And we were walking and walking, and one time I'm really blissful. I felt so ecstatic. And then the next step, I seemed to step out of my body. And that was even more ecstatic. And the next step, I stepped out of that body, and that was even more ecstatic. And it went on for a number of steps, so I had to sit down and... But it was an experience, my experience, not experience of Ananda Bodhi Vairagya, ever-increasing pleasure. That you stepped out was so pure, you stepped into his body was so pure, so it felt so ecstatic, and that was it. You know, you never experienced anything like that before. Then the next step, you step out of that into another one, which is even more. And then the next step, so you can't imagine, the spiritual is unlimited, unending. Unlimited and unending. And that's why the separation is there, and then and that will make the union even more, enhance the union when you're feeling that separation. So it has to be there, the two have to be there to enhance each other. But it's the highest and the lowest. That's how it is. But that doesn't last long, that low point, and also it's another kind of ecstasy which you may experience to some degree if you lose someone who's very, very dear to you. You may experience that your consciousness is ecstatic. You may be suffering like anything in the memory, and because it's just happened. So you may have that. Or even in the Sataraj said, even at when there's really grave danger, you're frightened of losing your life. He said, at that moment you can sometimes perceive the super soul. I never had that. Never got that scared. But so that's what life is all about, experience. Isn't it? We want experience. So the spiritual world is there. You can't be better than that. But if you don't want, if you think the other separation is suffering, then go to Vaikuntha or somewhere like that. Then you won't get any of that. You'll never get that. You're always present with the Lord. And even if he goes away somewhere, you think, oh, he's immediately be back. As soon as, because there's no anxiety there. As soon as you feel something coming up, immediately he'll be before you. So you want some of that. If you only want one side, then there's also a place. But if you want the ultimate experience, that's Golok. We can understand these things. Subhavarki, yeah.